Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Johnny, did you know Car and Classic now does online auctions?
Yes.
Did you know each Car and Classic auction includes professional photos and a description of your car and offers a secure payment service?
Yes.
Did you use Car and Classic online auctions to sell your Jimny?
Yes.
Did you find the process quick and easy?
Yes.
Did you once eat too many baked potatoes and then run over yourself?
No. You're thinking of Brian Harvey off of E17.
Yeah.
Smith & Sniff is sponsored by Car and Classic. To find out more about online auctions, visit carandclassic.com.
Hello, Richard here. Before we start this podcast, I wanted to tell you that the next Smith & Sniff live recording is happening on Thursday the 9th of February at Lotus in Norfolk. To get a ticket, follow the links that we'll plaster all over social media, and hopefully we'll see you on the 9th. We should have mentioned this in this podcast, but unfortunately, as you're about to hear, things were a little bit shambolic.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, sometimes hungover, and many other things with a coffee machine behind us.
That's a great start.
Isn't it?
Welcome to a luxury hotel room in fashionable
London. City of London.
So frigging leafy from where we are up on the 17th floor looking over Hyde Park.
Listeners.
Historic Hyde Park.
Listen, listeners, let me paint the picture. Winter's day, low, full sun.
I'm shitting egg. So I push the big cup on the coffee machine and it's only got a small
cup. Stop it. Stroker.
Listeners, let me explain. It's Friday where we are. The Friday before you're listening to this. And have been. Oh, thank you, Johnny.
Just We've been to a
lovely Dolly's cup of coffee.
We've been to an awards ceremony, not involving any awards for us. All about cars.
What the fuck would we win?
We'd win how to destroy a coffee machine.
Worst hatchback. We went to the What Car Awards last night at the Grosvenor Hotel on Park Lane.
I know.
We're not staying at the Grosvenor.
I know.
But we are at a hotel down the street. And as you might be able to hear,
ever so slightly
rough.
You've got the perfect voice to do AMG for cold start.
AMSR.
No,
AMGSR.
It would be. That's it.
It just does that thing.
Hushes itself.
It's done the cat light off, and then it goes. Just,
That's really good. That was good, actually.
Yeah. So we went to the What Car Awards last night, and it's in the sort of big. I always call it the ballroom, but it's not, is it? It's called the great room, isn't
the
it?
Great room.
A sign outside. I always want to go. Oh, what a great room! And so there's a lot of people there, sitting at tables, have a little bit of dinner.
And we were the guests of a car company that we enjoy saying the name of.
I think that's why they invited us.
Do you? So I feel like it's at this point.
That's right. It was Ssangyong.
No, I feel like it's at this point in the podcast that we do a little audio tutorial. You know when you're like, you learn Spanish intensively on the way to work, let's say. So repeat after me, everybody, listeners, you listening? 3, 2, 1. Folds. Okay, say it again, but a little bit more throaty. Folds. Now try this one. Spolt. But now say it a little bit more elongated like this. Spolt.
Sorry, I just had to pop away there because, A, I need to get a tissue.
Pop away.
Pop away. from the bathroom to get tissue to mop up my coffee, but also I realised it was so professional. We started recording, the coffee machine kicked in. Did you smash? You press small cup?
I did. Time. Is that like VTech kicking in?
Yo, yo. But coffee machine kicked in, yo. But also I realised that we started recording, I'd forgotten to turn the air conditioning off in the room, so I've done that now.
Do you know what? I spent all night not being able to turn the air conditioning off, but also not being able to turn off the main light. But because I had a few units, as you know, and I thought, well, it's okay, I've had in excess of a litre of Merlot. I'll just sleep with all the fucking lights on. I don't care. I'm over it. So I just slept with all the lights
on. Well, now, did you not discover it? It was pure luck that I found. There's a sort of master switch over there by the door.
It's like a kilometre away from your bed.
Again, for context, Johnny and I are staying, by chance, across the corridor from each other. So we finished last night's things and headed back to our hotel together. Said goodnight across the corridor. But before we'd left, when we went out to head to the awards, I said to you, I'm putting the do not disturb on my room because I don't like it in hotels when someone comes into your room while you're out in the evening, turns all the frigging lights on.
Yes.
And does something with your pillow, like leave a chocolate on it that you forget about and then you sleep. and you think that you've shat on your own head in the night.
Have you ever done a shitty headed sleep because of confectionery? No,
also once I woke up and I was like, why is what's this on my face? And it was some silver foil. I think I've been at a wedding, so I'd had a couple of Merlots or something, and I'd come back, I'd eaten the complimentary mint, but they just left the wrapper in the bed.
You animal.
Like an absolute arsewit.
You animal.
So I left in a stir on the door because I was like, I don't want them coming in and putting more lights on because it's already stressful enough trying to turn lights off in a hotel room.
It is stressful.
Got back here and I was still, and then I was like, oh God, there's loads of lights on anyway. But there's a master switch by the door, but the master switch, there's one light the master switch doesn't do. It's that one over there by the telly. And I ended up just turning
just
it off at the wall.
Up.
Yeah, smashed it.
Yeah.
I just dropped it in the bath. I turned it off at the wall because I couldn't find it. It doesn't seem to have a switch on it. Anyway, this is an interesting chat.
This is a really interesting car-based podcast that you're discussing,
now,
isn't it?
Now, for people who are unfamiliar with the Hot Car Awards, they give out a lot of awards.
Yeah.
Best. It felt like they were... I saw someone who works at What Car before the ceremony started.
Yeah.
And he said, there's fewer awards this year.
Fewer?
Yeah, they've trimmed it down.
So it's not best throttle position sensor award.
Best armrest in a B-segment hatchback.
Yeah.
Brackets, petrol. But it felt like there were still quite a lot.
Yes. I think there were... but it was good. It was really good. And I'm just trying to think of something. The overall winner was the ID Buzz, wasn't it? The ID Buzz.
ID Buzz.
And
ID Buzz.
Now a couple of winners. Well, because we were on the table of folds, the Puma ST won.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, Puma ST.
Yeah. So
which I haven't driven.
No, I haven't.
And I feel like I ought to, and I'm going to.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
They did. They were also. They got little awards for being sort of commended in a couple of categories as well.
Mm.
And then,
what, good at saying their own name,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
I was talking to someone we know from another car company, and his company has
just
two.
Sounds made up. Already.
Yeah. A source told me.
I saw.
No, I don't want to embarrass him because what he came over and we were chatting and he'd got two. Commendation awards. So the big trophies are like a massive question mark on a plinth, aren't they?
Yes.
It's sort of like a...
Because what car is a question mark?
What car?
Yeah. What?
Awards?
Car. We always think it should have two question marks.
Yeah.
In it. Maybe an exclamation mark after the question mark.
What?
So you're shouting like someone's in the shower and you're calling them to say, where'd you put the kitchen? Where's the back door key? What?
What? Car?
No, not
car,
the car.
Not
where's
car
the,
key, the back door.
The kitchen door. Where's the door?
What? So this guy came over and we were chatting and he got two of these commendation awards. The commendation awards were just sort of perspex rectangles.
Yes.
Inside of which there's...
Stuff. Was it a resin number?
Well,
it's a resin number.
We were trying to work out how it was made because he went, I've got two of these, see if you can spot what's wrong with them. And he handed them to me and I realised they weren't the same size.
Oh.
They were very slightly out. And he was like, their tolerances are out of whack on this. And
so that guy's wild at a party, isn't he?
Yeah, well...
Gets an award and instantly measures it.
Well, he didn't measure it. He just held two together and it was like, it just felt a bit shoddy. Like, oh, okay, but maybe they could argue that they're bespoke artisanal Perspex rectangles.
That's right.
To show that you were nominated in the best category for...
They got them off Etsy.
Headlight switches.
It's Cottage Industry Trophies Limited.
Etsy shop for
MG4 won a thing, which is deserved. I'm trying to think of all the other kind of heavy. There was a lot of BMWs.
A lot of BMWs. There always feels like there is. I don't know why. And then there's also always Skoda just seemed to have at least get commended in a category, even if it's like best two seater sports car. They'll go, but they should consider the Skoda Octavia just because it's nice. If I was saying that to someone last night, I was just like, why don't they just have done with it and make the Octavia the winner of everything? Because it's basically all the car you need.
It is.
They're quite rakish, that latest Octavia, as well, the hatchback. I like it. Yeah. It's got a good back.
My old neighbour, he'll probably have his eyes on that. He probably ordered
the diesel guy.
Yeah, he's probably sacrificed a cruise in order to buy one of those.
Can you still get a diesel Octavia? I don't think you can.
Oh, he'll be really pissed off if you can't.
Well,
I'll find out. He's been busy pulling up lots of hedges lately, and anything anything that nature would live in the garden.
That's gone.
Hate
nature. It's an idiot.
I
feel like I had some interesting conversations last night and discussed things that would be pertinent to this podcast, but unfortunately, I can't.
You're a bit hungover, Richard, aren't you?
Terrible.
You're on cold start.
I don't understand why you don't.
Well, I normally do. I just pace the wine.
I mean, you...
And I look.
Well, or maybe I didn't pace myself right. But then, towards the end of the evening...
Yeah.
You...
Were still drinking hard?
Well, yeah, because there was no wine left on our table. You just went over to somebody else's table.
I brokered a deal.
What was the deal?
I just said, look, you've got two full bottles of red there, and there's only four of you, and I don't think any of you are currently drinking red wine. So would it be okay if I took a bottle of that red wine? And they went, and the lady at... I said, do you mind if I unscrew the top and pour myself a generous glass for myself and my friend? And the lady looked at me, because I wasn't being too greedy. Mm. She went, why don't you take one of those bottles? And I went, I'm going to do that. I gave her a Roger Moore kind of eyebrow.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Thank you, my dear.
And held the gaze as I walked on.
Fell over a chair.
And it's all in the name of free wine.
Actually, with the state of my voice, I probably do quite a good Roger Moore.
Oh, you do?
My nose is too... nose is cracking. Can't do that.
I know.
Keeping the British end up, sir. but so you effectively mind swept for us at the end of the night...
You have to. You have to catfish it sometimes. In the traditional sense of the catfish, because there's a modern term for catfishing, agree with. Because catfishes, they're just bottom feeders.
Are they?
Yeah, so in an aquarium situation, you'll put the food in at the top.
Yeah.
And any uneaten food that slips past all the other communities of
they're
fish...
They're the hoovers.
They'll come in and just dicing it all up.
The room bar.
Yeah.
There's a room bar? One of those ones that just robotically scuttles about.
Falling
down steps that you haven't told it about.
God, I miss Asimo. Honda's robot.
Yeah, he's been turned off for good, hasn't he?
I miss Asimo.
No more falling downstairs for Asimo.
No more walking as if you're walking in pitch dark and you know that somewhere...
Himself.
It's basically, you're blindfolded in a room. You've only been in for an hour. And someone's told you that there's a scorpion in the room somewhere.
Oh, God. That's what happened to me in the middle of the night.
What, a scorpion?
Yeah. No, the scorpions, it turns out. And I couldn't find the switch to turn them off. No,
What did you do?
I needed a wee and I got up and I couldn't find the bathroom. But, of course, it never occurred to me to turn on one of the many lights. So... I was trying to... You see, there's that door. I think there's a connecting door. This is one of those hotel rooms that you can connect through to the room next door if you want to.
What, and you nearly went into someone else's room?
I was trying that door, but the thing is, the bathroom's nowhere near that. It's on the other side of the room and by the door. And I remember I was trying that door and then I stopped. I was like, this isn't it. And I thought, what I must remember not to do is open the main door to the room and go out in the corridor and let it lock behind me, because that is an absolutely classic hotel fuck up in the middle of the night. I'm not doing that. But then, I was trying. There's a funny door on the end of the wardrobe. See, that it doesn't make sense. And I opened that and I was like, this isn't the bathroom. And I didn't do that thing that people sometimes do where they wee in a wardrobe.
I've never done that.
I've never done that either, but I was like,
I'm glad I didn't walk outside, because I just think I went to bed naked last night, but with hiking socks on. I really can't feet, Richard. I get cold feet and they take forever to warm up. They're like a sort of, like someone doing lots of short journeys in a big diesel. It never quite gets up to working temperature until you don't need it anymore. So I tend to put thick socks on before bed these days.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
fair enough. I'm that guy.
I don't, but I do get cold feet, but not last night. I had pants on. So.
Okay,
but
then it was safe.
This morning, I mean, I've tried to clear up before you came in here, but my room looked like something had exploded. There's just shit everywhere. It was...
I've realised what it is.
Hey, actually, yeah,
I've realised what it is. You know, you lent me your belt last night, because I arrived beltless, and my trousers... I don't have any hips, really, so my trousers don't stay up. Richard kindly lent me his belt. I think it's like Samson with a haircut. I've taken your belt away and you've lost all common sense. And
I feel like I might have done. I just remember that I've just retrieved from my suit jacket, which was on the floor, that there was a photo booth thing. And you...
Yeah. I didn't expose myself.
With the mind swept wine. You've got me. You did us two copies. You've got one somewhere.
Yes, I have. I have got it.
I'll put this up for the patrons. There's a pitch for a quad split photo of Johnny and I with this guy. Had this sort of, not even a photo booth, just a sort of photo setup with a backdrop.
And a box of hats,
which we rummaged in. But we look like a right pair of bellends. But I like the way that you went, we never have professional photos done of the pair of us, which, you know, would be a good idea for publicity reasons.
We
so we thought
good.
We'd just do them here, because these are stupid and they've got branded stuff in the background.
Well, we don't do Instagram enough, because we don't take any... unique photos of ourselves, so we're dry on material, should we say.
No, it's
a lot
like,
of the
I was saying to you last night that our friend Alex Goy and his mate John Quirk, I think we know as well, used to do a podcast where one of the impressive things about it was that they'd had a photo session done where they sort of look like a band or something, like black and white photos of them sitting in a bus shelter or something.
Really?
But it just made them look really professional and cool. And I just thought, we would never think of doing that. That's why we don't.
Let's do one now.
I don't think a selfie on your phone.
That's professional.
In a hotel room with all of my clothes.
You hold up that merch mug.
That's what I should have put. Fuck me.
Yeah, you'd complete stoker.
Should have put the...
We've got to get the microphone
coffee
in to make it look like we're actually recording.
Well, we are actually recording.
I know we are.
So there we go. Live photos being taken.
With that professional. We're outside. We're actually outside. Not outside. We're in one of these hotels. It's on Park Lane, where you get fancy cars parked outside. You can never work out whether they're residents of the hotel or they've just done a deal with the doorman and gone, look, I need to park in central London.
Yeah.
Somewhere safe.
Can I class up your joint with my...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that. There's a sort of toothpaste blue Urus out there.
Oh, gosh, there is. It's great.
I don't know that entirely classes the place up, but some people's idea of classette is different, so...
Yeah, that's DJ Khaled's back all day long. But the thing I was going to say is the space in which this morning... has a couple of supercars and fast cars in. Last night was a different story.
Oh!
I thought I would raise that on the cast, Richard.
Bloody hell! You're right. Well, you can tell... I'm going over here to get a bottle of water. Tell them.
So
Johnny, tell them.
Listen, look, right, here's the situation.
Guys,
picture this. We were leaving to walk to the Awards and noticed that in the car park of this prestigious hotel... was none other than a motorhome, a small motorhome, with the roof popped up, and the step out. You know, those electric steps.
They had got a step out, hadn't
the
they?
Step out, and probably
a Ducato, I think.
Yeah, a Fiat Ducato, and it had. I think there might have even been, you know, a small washing line, one of those ones that clips onto the edge of the van. Like, so someone had set up camp for the night, but in like. One of the most expensive real estates in the world, and yet this morning, all gone.
There when we got back last night, which was at about 2 o'clock. So
yeah, it was 2. But who gave them permission to camp there?
Well, maybe
and where
nobody.
Did they...
Do you need permission, or is it just a parking space? Maybe you're allowed. I don't know. I don't know how much the hotel controls it, because I'm pretty sure it's a It's a public street, but you're right, it's usually got flash cars there to sort of try and make the hotel.
I reckon they backed over a drain, listeners. If you're a camper or a caravan, you all know the score. I reckon they backed over a drain and let the waste pipe just casually jettison down the drain. So in the morning, you haven't got to do the kind of emptying of the blue liquid receptacle.
But last night you were speculating that they would just come into the hotel reception and go, "Hello, have you got somewhere I can dump my Chemilav?"
Yeah, and it's sloshy. It's slightly weeping as they walk in.
Mm.
It's sometimes on wheels. Have you seen the ones on wheels?
No.
So if you've had a big session, well, you know, it's a family of six living in a very small caravan. There's a lot of effluent.
Oh, they'll
wheel it in like a sort of OAP's shopping trolley. And
they have a cap on them.
You're
not going to, because it's sort of marble floors down there, isn't it? You don't want a slopping blue filth all over the lovely marble floor in the
Or just
hotel.
Getting some on the tyre treads of this wheeled trolley and then just wheeling,
leaving just two little lines of
doing an 11 of chemical toilet.
Anyway, we've no evidence that they came and emptied the Chemilav in the expensive hotel, but they were parked out the front, which is a bit weird. There's also, it's been there since we arrived and it's still there, is that Dutch registered current shape RS6.
Mm.
And I feel like there's always a Dutch registered current shape RS6 outside posh hotels in London.
Yeah.
To the extent that I'm starting to wonder if it is in fact just an ornamental RS6. It's like, there's nothing inside it. It hasn't got an engine or anything.
Oh, it's an artist's representation or something.
Yeah.
So it's not a real car.
No, but it just looks cool, doesn't it? Because you kind of look around and went, what's cool? Sort of understated, but quite menacing and cool. Oh, RS6 estate. Yeah, they're good, yeah. What would make it more mysterious? Ooh, Dutch plates.
Let's do that. Okay. NL, yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of like,
What's going on there?
I can't remember. I'm sure a Dutch listener will set us straight on this. Is the Netherlands one of those places where they have quite swinging car taxes? So you've got to be proper minted to have something like an RS6.
Yeah, and they're one of the few places that I can remember where they've got it's yellow plates front and rear.
Whereas
here in the UK it's white front, yellow rear. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting, isn't it?
I think we're unusual in this country in that we have different plates front to rear.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly helped, I don't know, cars that look the same at both ends. Original Boxster or something just helps you to identify which ends.
Yeah, those Renaults that we were talking about the other week, they look the same at the front as the back. A lot of those Renaults of that era.
What, like a Renault 8 or something?
Yeah, they're just annoying.
In fact, yes, all the very similar looking Simcas of that age.
It's like printing out a picture of it and putting a mirror halfway along it, and then you realise it's just the same.
That's sometimes how they do car styling models, isn't it?
With a mirror.
But they don't do it front to back, they do it down the side. So they do a split model and then put a mirror down it so you can pretend it's all one.
Yeah. I hope that it isn't real. I hope that it is 3D printed.
We'll go and tap on it when we go downstairs and see if it's...
But that could be a thing nowadays. We live in an Instagram generation where you could order for your front garden or your drive a 3D printed thing. Or better still, you know those Euro NCAP...
The inflatable cars!
Inflatable cars!
Yes.
So why don't we just order a really nicely tailored RS6 inflatable?
Inflatable RS6. I mean, it would look as realistic as a Lego RS6, which shitting heck.
Oh, I bet we've had barrages of.
Not too bad.
Am I losing?
We've had quite a few people going, yeah, you're right, they don't look it. But then a few people going, that's not the point. They look like what they are and they're fun to build, so which is fair enough.
They are fun to build, but what my argument, my counter to that is Tamiyas are fun to build and then they are a real tangible thing after.
Yes. Well, you mean, yeah, because they can move.
Because they can move.
But no, we...
And all that.
We talked about that. When was that? Last week. We talked about that the day after we recorded it. My brother came to stay and he bought our son... A little Lego Bond DB5.
Oh.
I forgot to take a picture and send it to you because I saw it and I was like, oh, Christ. Doesn't look anything like a DB5. It's quite intricate as well. It's not the big one.
Yeah,
it's the junior one. Yeah, the junior one. They call it Speed Masters or something, that series.
Yeah.
So it's only, I don't know, probably like 10 centimetres long, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of parts.
See, a few people have replied on this conversation about Lego cars not looking very good. And they've said what Lego is really good at is when it's not trying to sell licensed goods.
It's true.
So it's like, oh, Lego Technic Crane, which functions in all the way a crane does, and it's enjoyable to build, or an engine, you know, like a functioning engine or an engine cutaway. Those are educational and fun as well. And I'm down with those. I think I'm just not down with the Bugatti Chiron, which looks like you say, like a family of people have hit it with toffee hammers for a day.
At a minimum, it looks like it's been a horrible rollover accident.
It is, because when a car rolls, it's always the pillars, the corners of each pillar get a bit of a hammering, don't they?
Yeah, but then also, you know, a lot of the panel work will get crinkled if it's been over a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like a gumball. It's an ex-gumball version of the real car, isn't it?
Yeah.
Off of ex-gumball and all that. Can you just break? We need to do some more voice tutorials. Can you just...
Yeah, you do them, because I'm going to sit here with my eyes closed, because I'll be honest, I feel very terrible.
I've got to take a picture of Richard, because he does look... He looks unwell.
I don't understand why you don't feel like this. It's not fair.
No, because normally I'm that guy. I'm normally the guy who has to chunder in the bushes outside just before we have guests turn up at the house. I'm that guy.
It's maybe because I'm not really drinking, so I'm just not match fit, but I just... I think that's the thing, because I'm not drinking. I'm not doing dry January or anything. I'm just sort of trying to be good.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe part of it... I'll come back on mic. I can't sit
I was going to say, you're a very long way away.
I think part of it is that I just got a bit giddy last night. And because when we arrived, there was champagne.
Yeah. Did you go for it?
Well, I only had a glass of it, because they very quickly then stopped serving the champagne to stop people like me going, I'll have another 6 glasses of that, please, mate. But I did essentially just inhale the champagne, and because I was so excited to be out and about. It's nice. It's not the same as last year. I came to the Hot Car Awards last year, and that was the first one since COVID had started. And so everybody was very giddy then, because it was just like getting out and about. And this is the thing. The What Car Awards is ostensibly to give awards to cars, as you might guess, but it also fulfills a sort of social function for people in the car industry to catch up.
Yeah,
so I saw quite a few the journo mates last night that I haven't seen for ages.
Well, and it's a black tie do, and what it made me realise is there were an awful lot of men of a certain age who must work in the automotive industry, because that's why they're in that bloody award ceremony. But if you just glance at them, you go, I'm just in a room full of professional snooker players. I've got no idea who they are.
That's black tie dudes generally, isn't it? They're all blokes. Just all men look generic.
Yeah.
Black tie dudes.
Hi, I'm generic black tie guy.
Hi, yeah. Although you don't see many now. Maybe on an older chap. The cummerbund.
Oh, the cummerbund.
What a stupid thing the cummerbund is.
I've never worn one.
I have, and it's a pain in the arse. It's always twisting around, so the clicky bit at the back comes to the front, and then you just look like an absolute rink. You look like a teddy bear where you can see the stitching. It's just ridiculous. But also, who thought they were... I don't know what it is. I think it's for the sort of... The elder gentleman with a little bit of a power bulge...
Oh, to bring it in?
Maybe. It's like a corset.
Those contour pants that a lot of ladies wear.
Contour pants?
I don't know. Well, they're sort of flattening and I mean, blokes have them. I don't know why I'm saying it's female specific. I think there's men's spec ones as well. I need to try them, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it.
So one of the things that happens at the What Car Awards is that the...
Of course, it's a magazine all about people that have never in their life thought about owning or using a car.
Yeah. I suddenly realised I've got like 20 grand that I didn't know I had. What should I spend it on? Get a car. What? Car?
No, I'll go on holiday.
Yeah. So then whoever won Skoda Octavia of the Year, that some representative from the car manufacturer goes on stage to take the award, pose for a slightly awkward photo with the editor of What Car and the compere for the evening, which last night was Zoe Lyons, the comedian. And they are mostly generic men in dinner suits.
Yes.
But then Tesla won a couple of awards.
They always send a lady up.
they sent the lady up. I can't remember. She had a very complicated job title. She was like sort of head of sales for Europe, Scandinavia, Africa.
Yeah.
Like, my God, she must be busy. Yeah. And maybe because of how busy she is, she didn't look very happy about winning.
They've won too much lately. It's not a thing anymore. But I've noticed. No, I mean a lot of the power jobs at Tesla have got women working there, which I think is really good because they're fundamentally better at multitasking. That we know.
I just wondered whether maybe she looked a bit cross because in fact she had recently bought a Model Y Performance and then they'd cut all the prices. So she was pissed off about that.
What, and there was a staff incentive scheme? They hadn't even told her.
She's like, I'm the head of sales for Africa, Europe, Asia, Scandinavia, and outer space. And you didn't bother to tell me you were cutting the prices, you dickhead. I don't know. No, she did, genuinely, and then she just, because I said to the person I was sitting next to, I was like, oh, she looks a bit grumpy about winning this award. And then she won another one and came back and she looked even grumpier. I think maybe she just didn't want to. The a woman on our table said, I think, because I said she's looking pretty unhappy about this, and she went, I think she's unhappy at having to go up and down those stairs in heels. Which I hadn't clocked, so it might have been
heels
that
thing.
But yeah, most people look pretty cheery to win an award, but a Tesla lady not so happy. I don't know. Maybe they don't do things the way everyone else does, do they? So they're probably like, I'm just gonna throw this in the bin. But then a pretty big flex if she'd accepted the award, posed for the photo, and then she walked off the stage, she just dropped it in a bin.
Just gave it to another guy on another table.
Someone from Toyota.
Yeah,
you need that more than me,
just
mate.
Just make eye contact with someone from Stellantis and went, do you want that?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on then. Go on. Have that.
The last one you'll ever see.
Talking of Stellantis, two observations. There were some, instead of having music, up sound of music to every award being given.
Yes.
For the applause, there were three beatboxing men.
Who were incredible.
Really good.
And I was...
pro beatboxers.
They were so good. I was sort of watching what they were doing in as much as it was like... So one guy was sort of doing the bass drum.
Yes.
One guy vocals, and then the other guy was sort of doing, you know, snares. Oh, I think he sort of hi-hats and things. But first, I thought they were playing a backing track in and they were just beatboxing over the top. But no.
No, it was own.
Everything was coming from them. And the amount, the sound and the complexity of the sound and the recognisable songs that they could do in a sort of beatbox style. They did Blue Monday, didn't they, at one point?
I reckon, so what I'm thinking, they were very good, but I'm thinking to carry on this tradition that we seem to have created of Stellantis constantly owning the Euro upbeat space, I think it was guerrilla marketing for them. So whoever won the award, it was always underlined by Stellantis party sounds, which I think is...
Did you record
some of it?
Well, no, I didn't. I probably should have. You have got a new video up about the Jeep Avenger.
Yeah.
But did you hear the indicator sound?
No. I got all the sound effects from the Arbath 500E, which I did a video on as well, which will be out by the time listeners listen. But go on then. Give me the indicator for the Jeep.
So I was sent this by a friend of ours.
Oh my gosh, it's basically Stellantis.
It's Stellantis, well, because it's Jeep Avenger, isn't it? So it's a Stellantis project. So
hang on a minute. If it was old school and you had a slightly dodgy relay or one of the bulbs was out, it would go quicker, wouldn't it, because of resistance?
Oh, yeah.
So you remember when you got a bulb out and your indicators go tick, 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 tick in old cars?
Yes.
That's what... Well, you've just reminded...
So our mate sent that to us and went... He said, this sounds like 80s Casio, so... So I put a rhythm track... But in the background, that is still the Jeep Avenger indicator.
Jeep Avenger indicator. Oh, this is good. Oh.
Anyway, there we go.
Do you know what? Dear Stellantis, can we please have an annual party event where we just celebrate? The Euro truck. Well, you can have a trance room, absolutely. You can have a house room, no problem. I personally would opt for a drum and bass, if that's okay. And each manufacturer could own a room, sponsor a room. So you'll have the Jeep room, you'll have the Fiat room.
Because
the Fiat room would be Italian Italian house music.
Yes.
Which would be great.
Would be great. Bit of Italo,
make it happen,
Italo disco. That'd be great.
Stellantis.
I don't. So that Abarth 500s.
Yeah.
E.
Yeah.
It's got that whocking great speaker under the back bumper.
The sound generator. It's deafening.
Although, is it?
Although it does have a volume control to it.
Oh.
So I've just done those. A first look walk around of those two cars, the Jeep Avenger, which I think is a really good car. Mm. But the name offends me. Mm. Because I'm a loyalist to the original. But I think it's an extremely strong product, the Jeep Avenger. It's the very first electric Jeep. It's the smallest Jeep ever made, bar the World War II Willys.
What is it?
Yeah.
What about the Renegade?
It's smaller.
Is it?
It's smaller by like 16 centimetres.
Oh my God, I thought it was bigger.
No, it looks bigger. This is the thing.
How strange.
The design makes it look really stocky and quite powerful, but actually it's a small car.
It was the size of like the last Cherokee or something.
No, it's good. And with a good cabin, shitloads of storage space inside. That's on the official press release.
Just shitloads,
and then in brackets, 34 litres.
I thought it might be the other way around. It's got 34 litres of storage space, brackets, shitloads.
I think we can universally agree
that's
in this world.
Shitloads, yes. Experts agree.
Shitloads. 34 litres is in excess of what anyone would need for storage within a
cabin. But it's an American car. Is that metric shitloads, or is it old-fashioned like SAE?
That's a good question. I think
shitloads, brackets, din.
Well, it's not a... Jeep's an American brand, but they're not selling it in America, and they're not making it
They're not? No.
Oh. So Americans can't buy it.
I know so little about this car.
It's okay.
Where's it being made?
It's one of the few... Poland.
Is it?
Yeah.
In Tychy, where the 500's
Yeah,
made.
I think so, yeah. So it's a Polski Jeep.
Oh, that's
But it's a really, honestly, the dash design's lovely, the boot space is good, 380 litres in brackets, not shit loads, but good. All right. directly taken from the Stellantis press release.
Is it a new platform?
How am I going to say this? It's an adaptation of the same as the 3008 Peugeot.
Oh, is
Citroën
it?
C4.
Oh, so that's the E...
Mocha Vauxhall.
But Mocha Chocka Vauxhall.
Yeah, I think the subframes are different because it's got higher ground clearance.
Of course.
Because it is only two-wheel drive.
Is it?
It's two-wheel drive, but it's got mud, snow mode.
It's not going to be a four-wheel drive one? Like a dual motor?
That I don't know,
okay.
But I do know in other territories you'll be able to buy it as a piston car as well.
Oh,
so
really?
It isn't EV only, I don't think. But I don't think in the UK I think it's EV only. So yeah, it comes on these sort of cross climate all season type tyres.
Yeah.
So they're not knobbly, but they're capable all year round. And it comes with hill descent control and really shallow departure angle, or good departure angle. I don't know what your departure angle is, but when I leave this hotel, I'll be going probably, I don't know, 26 degrees to the left.
Okay,
I tend to go hard left. And
hard, that is quite a departure angle.
I'll lift off, overwalk, as I come out of the revolving door of the hotel onto the slightly skiddy winter pavement.
Some blue chemilab residue.
That's why last night I didn't wear ultra smart suit shoes, because they're normally just a leather smooth sole.
Yeah, well
in this weather it's treacherous.
You've
got a slight amount of grip
atop the leather.
That looks like a Stellantis promo poster
I haven't noticed the pattern on these. the bottom of my smart shoes, which I told you that I dug out my black suit the day before I was coming here.
Yeah.
And you were impressed at my organisation. It was because I thought, what I'm going to do a day out from having to leave is get out my smart shoes.
And check they're not mouldy.
No, just get them out and pack them, because I'm the man who once had to rush to a shop ahead of a wedding, not my own, and buy some more smart shoes because I'd forgotten them.
Oh, that's just amazing.
And I went to another wedding wearing a suit and a collar and tie and trainers, because once again I'd forgotten my, and I sort of tried to stand behind things at all times, but it became harder and harder. And then people were like, why are you wearing trainers? And then by the evening, it was like people going, oh, very smart, you've changed into trainers because you're comfortable. And I was like, yeah. I definitely didn't just forget my shoes because I'm a fuckwit. So, yeah, and then I found my suit. My suit trousers had fallen off the hanger inside the suit carrier and were just in a crumpled...
So it looked
ball.
Like someone, an angry child, had been jumping.
Oh man! And then you have to go to that thing where you go, right, how do you iron suit trousers? Because it's crucial that you don't just run an iron across them, or they will go very shiny, and you will look like a sales rep from the 80s.
You'll look like the lead singer of ABC.
Oh, he liked a shiny suit.
He loved a shiny suit.
Yes. What was I going to say to you? I was going to say some other stuff that I'd written down. Well, I want to ask you something because you said to me the other day.
Yeah.
Could you ask me?
Yeah.
I want to talk about measuring cars before buying them.
Yeah. I wonder if I want to know the proportion of people in this world who buy a car, measure a car to know whether it'll fit in their lifestyle, in their drive, in their garage, if people do still.
Yeah.
And I only know this because my auntie's a car measurer.
Oh.
My auntie's measured various cars over the years because she's a garager. She has got a Suzuki Swift Spolet. Yes. Because she just fancied something a little bit nippy. I think those were her words. And but prior to that, she had had a Seat Leon. And when she went to buy the next Leon, I think it had got too big and it was like, it won't fit in the garage. And then, because she used to be, years ago, with my uncle, they were staunch Volvo warriors.
Yeah.
I said, well, why don't you buy a small Volvo? You know, and she went and measured them all. And she went, even the smallest one's far too big. I'm not buying one.
I wonder if car salesmen, well, there's plenty of car salesmen listen to this. I wonder if they, does this happen a lot? Do you see them coming? Uh-oh. We've got measurers incoming.
Come on. A measurer.
It's a reasonable thing to do. I mean, you could just look in the brochure, I suppose. You don't need to physically measure, surely, but...
Yeah, but sometimes you need a visual.
You don't trust the brochure. Well, maybe your aunt would be interested in the Jeep Avenger because, as it turns out, it's smaller than expected.
Yeah.
It's smaller than it looks.
Do you know, it's actually, I'm pretty sure, because I checked, I'm pretty sure it's slightly shorter than a Hillman Avenger.
Oh.
Which, you know how small old cars are.
What about a Dodge Avenger?
The Dodge Avenger is probably bigger, but they're can't talk about the Dodge Avenger. The first rule of Dodge Avenger is nobody talks about Dodge Avengers.
I'd totally forgotten they sold it here.
I did as well. It was deeply unsuccessful.
Did you ever see one?
No. I still haven't.
No.
And yet, we said in the video, I had to check with you, unless I dreamt it, you got a bog-off deal. It's the only brand new car I can think of that where there was a bog-off deal. Buy one, get one free.
I wonder if...
Was it 2008? It was scrappage scheme era.
Yeah.
I think 2008, 2009 Dodge Avenger. I think it was a 2-litre engine. The window line was like the modern day four-door Charger, which is not a car that I particularly like the design of. And I think the least said about that, the better. So, yeah, apart from the name Avenger, I think the Jeep Avenger is actually... pretty good. I'm excited to drive it and see what it does. I mean, the range as well. It's only 1600 kilos, and yet it's got a 52 kilowatt hour battery. Uh-huh. Do 250 something miles combined, 340 miles urban.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
I'm slapping that at you because we're in London. Now. I'm thinking it's one of the very few Jeeps you could buy in a city, and it actually is fit for purpose.
I could see that being popular with the London minicab world.
Yeah,
currently. Besotted with the MG5.
Yeah, oh yeah, they are.
A lot of MG5s around.
The estates. The SVs.
Doing a lot of taxi work.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just in London. I think they're all over the place. It's the minicab du jour, if you want an EV, I think. I was looking at my notes here. I've written down measuring cars that you wanted me to ask you about. But also, I just suddenly realised, I didn't tell you last weekend. I was going to message you, but... I was busy. I was in a multi-story car park and I was almost run over by an attractive older lady in a P38 Range Rover.
Oh, amazing.
It was incredible.
Was she coming in hot?
She was coming in a little hot.
Yeah.
And there's one of those, you know, they've painted a zebra crossing-y type thing on the floor of the car park. So I was approaching that and I sort of assumed that she was going to ease off, but no.
No.
As I sort of stepped forward, she just kept on coming. And then she did that apologetic wave thing.
Oh, so she did?
She didn't. She just didn't see me. Which is strange, because I was thinking, gosh, they're quite glassy, aren't they, P-38s? As all Range Rovers are. And it was all clear glass all round as well. It was quite old money spec.
Oh, you're painting that old money picture.
And she did have a sort of an old money vibe, but she was, yes, I would describe her as an attractive older lady in an interesting car. V8 as well, not a diesel.
Of course. Do you think she'd driven it into the multi-story on the cruise control, on the plus, plus, minus, yeah, minus, and she was just trying to tickle it around the cover? We've all done it, where you think, I'm not using the accelerator or the brake, I'm just going on the thumb. It's just going to be on the thumb.
Yeah, I like doing
plus,
that.
Plus, minus, minus, minus,
like
minus, minus.
Being a master of the plus, minus. And it's quite good in modern cars as well, where you can just, you know, well, it'll tell you the speed in the digital readout, and you can just dink it down.
Or even adaptive.
I feel like, I like to pretend I'm an airline pilot.
Yeah,
I'm just going to ease it down to a slightly slower cruise now to save fuel.
Yeah,
you know, hopefully the passengers, you know, won't even notice I'm doing it. I'm just going to ease it down. Big master of cruise is a good job. I like being master of cruise.
Master of cruise.
I hate an impromptu disengage.
It's annoying
because in some cars it's jolty if you've got passengers.
Yeah, but I can imagine it's like if you're a well-respected choreographer. Mm. And you're leading an important dance routine, and then your phone goes off, or someone's phone goes off. You're like, fuck's sake.
Shit.
Totally ruined the vibe, and that we're in the moment now.
Do you ever, because I think there's nothing to beat the slightly panicky feeling of being on the cruise control on a motorway where it's nice and quiet, and then suddenly coming into traffic, say around a junction, and suddenly you had the cruise set at, let's say, 70, because that's the speed limit, and suddenly with lots of cars incoming and close to you, it feels like you're doing 300, and it feels a bit, you feel a bit out of control all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But have you know?
Or it does the panic brake.
Well, the adaptive radar ones.
It panics and it sees a sign or a badger.
Yeah, some of them are a bit of a curve, and they haven't quite calibrated it right, and it's going. Oh, okay.
And I worry that makes you look like you're a drink driver.
Yes,
because you're doing brake dabbing all over
dabbing
the place.
Dabbing brakes. I know. There's nothing worse than a brake dabber. Anyone who's a serial brake dabber, I just have their license.
Dabbing brake. That's a proper like Cockney insult.
Yeah,
it doesn't really make it.
I'm not sure.
You sort of brake dabber.
You brake dabber. But the adaptive cruise, you know, sometimes when it will, it'll just go, oh, there's a car up ahead that's just pulled out, so I'm just going to slow it down. And you sort of, and then you're behind another car and it's keeping its distance, but you're actually now doing sort of like 48.
Yeah.
When that car moves out of the way, some adaptive cruise systems go, ooh, better get back up to 70 as quickly as I can, and we'll absolutely pin it.
Yeah, they will.
And that's quite a panicky feeling as well. It's like, whoa, easy there. Yeah. It's like being on a bridling
like
horse.
Someone's, yeah, it is. It's like someone's whipped the horse without you
whoa
expecting.
Whoa there. Let's just, oh, we just, I don't know why they calibrate them like that. It's a very impatient setup.
I find that quite disconcerting.
Particularly in EVs, because they're able to just sort of,
yeah,
go.
Of course they are.
They can just fuck off straight off.
But so it goes against your sort of like keeping the economy thing.
Well, yeah, because that's...
You're like, you've just ruined all that power I've saved. You
fucks. It's strange. On that note as well, I was going to say that something that I noticed in the US when I was there over Christmas, and I've started to think it's true here as well, is that I think Teslas might be the worst driven cars on the road.
Oh,
certainly in the US, and I was trying, and I don't know.
It's because they're not being driven.
Well, this is the thing. It's not, is it? Because they're not being driven. But I just think actually, it's some of the things they're doing. It's just fuckwittery. And I was wondering, it's because Teslas are cars that appeal to people who aren't interested in cars,
a lot of tech enthusiasts.
Tech enthusiasts, and they can tell you all about the latest laptops or something.
But
they're not very into cars, except Teslas, which sort of almost, like, you know, they feel like they're a piece of tech rather than a car.
Mm.
So they're no good at driving when they're doing it themselves. Maybe they've also gone, no, I don't really like driving. But that's okay, because I'm going to get a Tesla and it drives itself. And then they've discovered that's not strictly true, and they've got to do some of the donkey work themselves. And they just make absolutely arse-witted decisions on dual carriageways and things. It's just, I don't know, it might be me, but it's just, you know, sometimes a car becomes conspicuous to you because of how badly driven it is. And I think the Citroën Picasso was like that for a while. Corsas are always like that.
Yeah.
And I saw a really brilliantly badly driven Corsa the other day. Just absolutely dipwit. Anyway, but and yeah, I started thinking, is it me? I don't know. I invite listeners to pile in on this one.
A lot of there are a lot of badly driven BMWs. The one series coupes.
Oh yeah, it's a general rule, isn't it? The smaller and cheaper the BMW, the more badly driven it will be.
The one series coupe always looks like it's on the ragged edge. Usually late for work kind of time in the morning.
But the one series coupe has got that whiff of estate agency about it.
There's a bit of threaded eyebrows and lads at the gym, kind of like gym photos in the mirror, going on with the one series.
Yeah,
because it's your gateway drug into what may become an M Sport vehicle.
Yeah, or just a free transfer over to Team Audi for an S3.
True.
If estate agency is going very well.
And they're driven quite bad. Hot Audis are driven badly because they're driven by people that think that four-wheel drive will get you out of every problem. Mm. A bit like the old school days of Scooblaroos, where a quick Impreza is a very capable car to a point. Mm. And the point at which it just goes, I'm out. Mm. I'm not playing
anymore.
There's
nothing more I can do. I'm so sorry.
You're travelling at some speed and shit gets real, as some people would say.
I know. Queuing at some temporary traffic lights, a Legacy Outback.
Sweet.
About 5 years old.
Yeah.
With an older couple in it. But it's a bit old money, actually. Except
yeah, that is old money.
It was too new and it was silver.
Was there any waxed jackets
being worn? Didn't
see any
wax
worn.
Action, but it could have been in the back.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't wear wax jackets in the car because if you've waxed your wax jacket, it then goes onto the seat belts and then it comes off on whatever else you wear in the car.
It does.
It is a pro wax jacket wearer would not wear a wax jacket in
the
car.
They lay it in the boot.
Exactly.
Lay it out, yeah.
So that, I couldn't see the wax jacket.
On top
but let's
of that
assume
roller
they were
blind
there.
Cover.
But I just looked at the Outback and went, that is a nice car.
Yeah, I like them.
I looked at it, I just went, ooh.
You'll see, in the not too distant future, off of the Late Break Show and all that, you will see a feature where I go and I revisit the classic Impreza, and I have an awful lot of fun.
An original Impreza?
Yeah,
Turbot.
Well, yeah, it's a sort of hypo version of, but the company that are building it.
Oh, it's that, yes. Okay.
A company that's building it, they've been doing Subarus for 3 decades. And of course, I was rooting around their sort of stockpile in the backyard. Loads of Square Foresters.
Oh.
Legacies.
Oh.
Yeah. And I still like the Bug Eye. I like the Bug Eye Impreza. Blob Eye less so, Bug Eye yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it with the spider eye conversion. I don't know if
you... Oh, do you? No, I don't like that.
Don't you?
No, it looks like it's got an eye infection. It's like the Alpha 4C. You just go, you want to get some cream for that or something. Drops. Get some drops. My car needs some drops.
I just realised I'm going to play a voice memo that I driving to the railway station yesterday, I thought, I'm going to record this before I forget it.
Yeah.
At the time, I thought it was funny. It might not be funny.
That's a good start.
So we've got moonlighting WRC drivers. We've got Marcus's Groundworks, Grunholm's Groundworks, Gwyndaff's Ovens. Obviously, just sells and repairs ovens, not interested in anything else. We've got Sebastian's Loads. He does logistics. And he used to do quite a lot with Ken's Block, so Ken would only deliver bricks, that kind of thing, hardcore. Who else have we got? Oh, we've got Carlos's Signs. Obviously, he's a screenwriter, been in the game for a long time, he's very good at it. But you are, in the meantime, he only does Krankenwagen, so the German word for ambulances. So he does a lot of surplus ambulances.
You are
perhaps a little bit of military surplus as well. Maybe ex-police cars, BMWs with the holes drilled out of the crankcase, stuff like that. But I'm on the lookout for any others if we think there's going to be any other good ones. Answers on a postcard, please.
What about a florist called Stig's Bloom?
Oh, Stig's Quest. Balloon Quest?
Bloom
Stig's
Quest. Balloon Quest. It's Stig's, a hot air ballooning.
No, Stig's Bloom. He's on a quest for balloons. Quest. Stig's Bloom Quest.
I'd like one that is in the shape of a number five.
Yes. There we go. So Stig's on about balloons or blooms.
Blooms.
Blooms,
yeah.
As in flowers, as you say. Anyone else can think of any more WRC moonlighting companies? I don't know why I thought of this. It was dumb.
Write in hello at smithandsniff.com. We're going to wrap this up because you've got to go and catch a train.
I won't catch a train.
And I've got to curl up in a ball under that duvet, yeah, and hope I can just check out at 5 p.m. I feel terrible.
The sad reality of this situation is I'm running down to the wire to get this train, in truth, and I haven't brought a belt. I had to borrow Richard's belt to go to the award ceremony last night because my trousers won't stay up.
Yes, whereas fortunately my suit is a little tight and so my trousers stayed up on their own.
Yes.
So you borrowed the belt for my jeans, which you've now given back to me because, yeah, I wouldn't be able to go out of here without the belt in these jeans because they would fall down.
Well, and I'm going to do that whole running for the train, but my trousers might fall down a bit.
So if you were at, where are you going? King's Cross?
Yes, King's Cross.
King's Cross Station in London on Friday, the 20th of January, and you saw Johnny's arse.
Yes,
that's the reason
pants.
Why he wasn't a cry for help. He's just not got a belt.
And I don't worry, I'm not running around with a bun in the oven. I've just not got a belt on. I forgot to wear one.
Okay, well, so let's wrap this up. I haven't thought of one of these, and I'm too hungover to think of it. So Johnny's got a solo YouTube channel, but it really is called The Late Break Show. And as we mentioned earlier, it features the preview walkarounds of the Jeep Avenger, smaller than it looks, and the Abarth 500E, noisier than it ought to be. The second thing I've got to tell you is that we have merch. We have new t-shirts, we have mugs in Spalt, on that side of things, designs, and the mugs, you can get a Steam Rally Wrongens mug, which will shortly be available as a t-shirt. We also have stickers and all that.
It's all new and all that. It's lovely. Go on the website, order some merchandise, you tell you all that.
And the third thing I've got to tell you is that Gustav Eiffel, who built the eponymous tower in Paris, you might have seen it.
No, I've never seen it.
But when he built for himself a small apartment at the top.
Did he?
Yeah, it's still there. It didn't have a bedroom, though. It was more for, like, sort of entertaining guests and things and conducting science experiments. But it's still there. You have this little private apartment right at the top there.
That's
which, you
cool.
know, quite honestly, you would if you could, couldn't you? I'm surprised he didn't have a bedroom. You could just live up there.
Love it. I love the fact that it was only supposed to be up for like 4 years. Or
yeah,
something.
I know. And they're really milking it. Aren't they? Come on, France, take it down. Who was that? I can't remember. Who was the French writer or philosopher who hated the Eiffel Tower so much that he used to go and have breakfast on it every day because it was the only place in Paris where he could have his breakfast not looking at the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, not see it.
Yeah, can't remember who that was.
Because he got quite spiteful today.
I know, yeah. There's nothing like a bit of spite. Anyway.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. Sorry for the low quality of this show, even by our standards, and the croakiness of my voice.
Cold Start AMG, Mr. Porter there, and thanks to everyone that subscribes to us via Patreon.
Oh, yes.
Supports us that way. It's really kind.
We need to do more calls to action, so please like and I suppose you can subscribe to us.
Leave us a star rating and reviews. That's good.
We love that. Just go to wherever it's possible to
especially
leave
if you're from a foreign country, because it makes it convinces people that foreigners listen to Smith and Sniff.
Hey,
it's not just home market toss.
Last time, I don't want to boast, but last time I looked earlier this week, we were the 206th most popular podcast in the Mexican leisure podcast chart.
206?
Yeah, so watch out, Mexico.
There was a Japanese stat that you messaged me.
Oh, yeah, we were top 10 Japanese automotive podcasts.
It's amazing.
We're 132nd in the Norwegian leisure chart as well, so, you know, again, we're pretty big noise in Norwegian leisure.
Said nobody.
Said nobody.
Thank you, though, in all seriousness.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you for listening. We'll do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye now. Okay, this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two people talk about cars, sometimes with a hangover, and many other things.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Your name, you
I'm... Fella. Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.